Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, joined today by Mr. Marius Root. Let's get into the news of today. And the first story that we've got to talk about is, unfortunately, a very bad piece of news for South Africa. And that is that the expropriation bill has passed through the National Council of Provinces. This gives the green light to legislation that will, according to the Institute of Race Relations, strike a death blow to South Africa's chances of economic recovery. It now will go to the President Ramaphosa's desk to be signed into law. He can still veto said legislation, put it back for amendments. But effectively, the main problems with this piece of legislation are that it provides for opportunities for the government to expropriate for nil compensation or without giving you any money whatsoever in cases where the owner's main purpose is to benefit from the appreciation of its market value or if the owner is, quote, failing to exercise control over it. In other words, if you lose control of your own property due to some kind of invasion or perhaps there's criminal activity, something that goes wrong, it makes your property vulnerable to expropriation by the state. This fight's definitely going to go on. If the president doesn't veto it, it will, I'm sure, go to the courts because it is not entirely, we believe, in alignment with the Constitution. But Marius, what do you make of this? What are the consequences of passing this piece of legislation? What is it going to do to our economy and our society?
One point, just to clarify, it's got to go back to the National Assembly just for concurrence. The NCOP made a couple of small changes. I haven't been able to find exactly what the changes were, but apparently they're not too substantial. So then after that, it'll go to the president. It's not clear that it'll be able to get to the president before the election. I don't think it will. Parliament goes into recess pretty soon. So it's unlikely it'll get to the president then. But the thing is, you've got to push back against the bad policy, whenever it's a threat, even though, to be honest, I don't think this law will be signed before the election. But it's obviously something that the president can use for campaigning. I think it's very similar to the NHR, where the president has been sitting on his desk now for a couple of months and he hasn't done anything about it because I think he knows that it's a very bad piece of legislation, the NHR, and I'm sure he knows the expropriation bill is also a very bad piece of legislation, but he hasn't signed it because he knows then the court challenges and so on will start and he can now just use it as a kind of a campaign tool. But it's obviously a terrible law, and it'll cause such a, or the bill is terrible, expropriation bill is it's not very good. It'll cause such a lack of, it'll cause the people to lose serious confidence in the South African economy if it's used at all. The thing is, nobody's going to come and take somebody's house in the suburbs or whatever the case is. But as soon as even one farm or whatever the case is expropriated, that'll cause such panic amongst investors, whether they are in South Africa or abroad. And we all know that property rights are also a cornerstone of any democratic and prosperous country. If you don't have solid property rights protected by the governments and so on, then you can forget about becoming a prosperous society. And that is actually one of the things that made apartheid so pernicious, is that Black South Africans in particular had very weak property rights, if at all. And that was one of the things that really made it such a terrible system. People didn't have any kind of security of tenure. You couldn't have a place to really call your own. And that's really what made it terrible. And if we have an expropriation bill that's the worst elements of it come through, then it could be that very few South Africans have any kind of security or property rights.
So not only is this going to damage our economy and our democracy, but the opportunities for sort of corruption and that kind of thing, I think, are quite significant. Imagine you've got an area where, let's say, there's a poor community living next to open veld. Suddenly the government has not been able to expropriate that property for a long period of time, but then it manages to get its hands on it, can build something bad there, can terrorize people saying, we'll expropriate your property unless you pay us money. There'll be all sorts of just opportunities for state abuse and chaos. This is a destructive piece of legislation with almost no equal in our democratic history. So it's very important that this be opposed at every step of the way. With any luck, maybe, the National Assembly will amend some of the bad parts of it, or the president will veto it, maybe after the election. But I think Ramaphosa has unfortunately shown a surprising amount of dedication to this policy. I mean, after all, Jacob Zuma didn't even manage to get this through the system in the way that
Ramaphosa is more radical than Jacob Zuma was, considering the kind of legislation that Ramaphosa has been pushing compared to Zuma.
Exactly. So this needs to be fought. It will be fought. But it's, I think, very important for all citizens to take note of this, because it's not just going to affect the rich. It's not just going to affect the property owners. It's going to affect also the poor, also people who depend on it for, depend on jobs or things for their livelihoods. It is incredibly, it will have a blanket snuffling effect on the whole of society. Okay.
And just to point out that no country has become sustainably prosperous without secure property rights.
Indeed. Let us go on to our next story. This is about the Bank of America, who have put out some analysis of how they think the next election is going to go. They have found that, in their opinion, an EFF-ANC coalition is unlikely unless Cyril Ramaphosa is removed as ANC leader. And instead, they believe that a DA-ANC coalition is the most likely outcome, and that they also go on to say that this means that there would be a status quo effect in terms of policy. They believe that the balance of probability suggests that with the most likely outcomes of the election, that the ANC is going to be able to continue the course, even if it drops below 50%, much the same as how things have been going. Now, this is interesting for a number of reasons. One is, I think it demonstrates the incredible bad consequences of an ANC-DA coalition. If the DA is hoping that it's going to be able to change policy, I think this Bank of America assessment is correct, and that there really won't be that many opportunities to change policy, particularly if the DA is the junior coalition partner. But I'm not entirely sure whether they are so right about the ANC-EFF coalition falling not happening. And there's definitely some reasons to think that it won't, right? We've seen the recent drama in Ekurhuleni where the ANC and EFF have come to blows. We've seen some opposition within the ANC's top structures towards a coalition with the EFF. But at the same time, the EFF has been, shall we say, flexible in who it's willing to agree to form alliances with. And so has the ANC at the end of the day. They Jacob Zuma and Julius Malema were once sworn enemies, with the EFF throwing all sorts of accusations at Zuma. But today they're in what looks like kind of an alliance in the election that's coming up. Marius, what do you make of this analysis?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think it, unless the DA got really strong concessions, I think would be probably a bit of a mistake for them to go into a coalition with ANC. I think a good example we can look at is the Lib Dems went into coalition with the Tories in the UK in 2010. Lib Dems had one of their best ever elections. They won nearly 60 seats, I think. It was their best outcome, I think, in close to 100 years. They went into coalition with the Tories, and some of their red lines, the Lib Dems, one was like, say, on tuition fees and stuff, you know, that they didn't want tuition fees to be increased or levied on students in the UK. And the Lib Dems used to get a lot of student votes. That happened while they were in coalition with the Tories. Tuition fees were increased. And the next election, the Lib Dems nearly got wiped out. I think they went from 57 seats to 8 seats. And they haven't really recovered since then. Apologies if anybody can hear anything. There's a bit of lightning and thunder outside here by where I'm staying. And I think unless the DA gets some really strong concessions, because things, if in ANC-DA coalition, we're not going to see a massive turnaround. We're not going to suddenly see economy growing at 5-6%, because a lot of the ANC policies, the really pernicious ones that are really bad for the country, will stay in place. And I think a lot of people will blame the DA for what's going wrong. A lot of people who would be DA supporters would decide not to support the party anymore. So probably the best outcome for the country, obviously an ANC-EFF coalition will be quite disastrous, but an ANC minority government where they govern without a majority, or going to coalition with one of the smaller parties, Good or the IP or one of these, or MK. But also, I mean, MK seems, I think they're also quite flexible on their policies. They seem to say quite left-wing things, but they also seem to be very right-wing socially. I mean, Jacob Zuma wants to deport pregnant teenagers to Robben Island, apparently. So it's not really, it's the I don't know about that policy. But anyway, yeah, I don't know how likely an ANC-DA coalition is. And but I think, yeah, whatever it is, we're going to have a very interesting election, and we're going to have very interesting outcomes after 2024. And also, could all be a damn squib. You know, I might be in a minority, but I still don't think an ANC just over 50% is completely impossible.
Right. And the other possibility is, of course, let's say the ANC gets, I don't know, 47% of the vote. Still puts them below 50%, but it's very easy then to find some of the smaller parties to maybe form a coalition. Maybe the IFP, that's what they've done in... maybe the Patriotic Alliance, who knows.
All these guys.
Al-Jamar, a collection of all those very small parties. If you band them all together, give each of them a deputy minister position or even a minister position, and you'll find probably quite easy to get allies. So I don't agree with this Bank of America analysis that an ANC-DA coalition is the most likely necessarily, but I do think that they're right to say that there won't be significant policy change in the next couple of years, even if the ANC does badly in this election. But we shall have to see. It's going to be, I think, like you said, Maurice, it's going to be a very, there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of shakeup will probably happen with this election. And we have that the future will be very much a much more undiscovered country than it has been for the past 30 years. All right. And for our last story, we're just going to talk about something that was said by Trade and Industries Minister Ibrahim Patel. He was saying this he's about on his way to attend, I believe, the Black Industrialists and Exporters Conference this week, which is happening, I think, today. And Ibrahim Patel said that inefficiencies in the country's logistics sector are among the biggest threats to the growth of Black-owned companies. He, however, said that the logistics crisis, which has affected our ports and our rail systems and our electricity and everything, is starting to turn around, in his opinion, and he can see green shoots. Now, I think this is kind of interesting because Ibrahim Patel has in many ways been the architect of much of our economic malaise over the past couple of years. And I think he's...
Minister of Deindustrialization.
Yeah, the Minister of Deindustrialization. I think he's accidentally stumbled here upon some truth, which is, yes, bad logistics hurt Black companies. You know who they also hurt? Everyone, because they're terrible for the economy. What do you make of this, Maurice?
Yeah, it's also this weird way that a lot of people in the ANC see the world, that it's, you know, literally black and white. And yes, obviously it's bad if black-owned companies are doing poorly, but it's also bad if white-owned companies are doing poorly. And also, how can a company have a race as well? What's a black company? What's a white company? You know, it's we all in this together. South Africa's like a zebra. If you shoot it in the black stripe, it's going to die. If you shoot in the white stripe, it's also going to die. So this obsession with race and with picking winners is really, it's all very silly. And also just from the article, it says how red tape is hobbling blacker companies. As you said, that's a problem for everybody. And also, Ibrahim Patel is also very good. He does what a lot of people in the ANC talk about, as if they've been in opposition for the past 30 years. Now, we've got all this red tape. What can we do? You guys have been in the government for 30 years. Why don't you guys do something about it?
Not just the ANC, but Ibrahim Patel specifically has been the cause of a lot of that red tape. The alternative headline could have been Ibrahim Patel finds out that Ibrahim Patel has a stifled economic growth.
It should be like that meme with Spider-Man where they're all, you know, like the three Spider-Men are standing around pointing at each other, whatever the case is. We could have Ibrahim Patel doing that. So yeah, it's just one of these. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it also, as I say, shows the problems with how this country is governed, that you think you can pick winners like this. You know, you can't pick a winner you can't pick a company or an individual as a winner. You know, you can maybe supply certain sectors with support and what have you, but you can't pick winners in the way Ibrahim Patel thinks you can. And that's, when it comes down to it, South Africa's industrialization in the last couple of years, you can definitely, large part of that, you can lay at his door, I think.
Exactly. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting. We will be back on Friday with the Daily Friend Show. I won't be here, but Saragon will be hosting. And I hope you all have a wonderful short week and long weekend if you are indeed taking off Friday as well. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap.